WTIC, let's talk to John and Meriden, and then we'll get our questions for this hour out there. Hey, John.
Hello, sir. Great show as always. I'm calling for the 35% ammunition tax.
You're for it? Is that what you said?
The ammunition tax? No, I'm against it.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you were calling for it.
No, that's what I'm calling about.
Oh, okay.
Every time Connecticut passes gun laws or gun restrictions, military and police are always exempt. I am former military and I am former police. If you're going to tax the permit holders in this state 35% so they can go out and practice, you charge the towns who buy ammunition 35%. You charge the state police who buy ammunition for the academy to train their people 35%. You charge every town that buys ammunition for their police officers 35%.
What would be the principle that would require you to do that? What would the argument be?
It's always when they pass a gun law or gun restriction in the state of Connecticut, mm-hmm. police and military are exempt. So if a police officer goes in to buy ammunition to go practice with his own money, he's exempt.
Even on his own time for his own purposes.
There you go.
Okay.
Everybody has to pay 35%.
That is not fair. Yeah, that sounds right, John. Thank you so much for the call. 860-522-9842, Philosophy Friday. This kind of leads us into one of the Philosophy Friday questions. First one, what policy, what single policy would you enact or change if you held the magic policy wand? What would you put into place? What would you get rid of? You've got one wish. You've got one dream, one moment to be the ruler on anything you wish. What would you change in this wonderful state? 860-522-9842. And part two of today's Philosophy Friday. What policy, what concept, what idea, what topic should we pay some attention to that we haven't paid attention to, perhaps? What haven't I discussed or brought up? Or what haven't we hit upon that you'd like to hear talked about? 860-522-9842. So two Philosophy Friday questions for this hour. You don't have to do them both. You can pick one. What policy would you change if you held the magic policy wand and could simply declare any one thing to be the law of the land? And is there something we should discuss that we don't discuss here on WTIC? 860-522-9842. We'll take your calls coming up. It's Friday. We celebrate Fridays with Philosophy Friday. One of the ways we celebrate our questions today. If you had the magic wand, what policy would you change? Doesn't matter. State, local, federal, take your pick. It's a little fantasy thing anyway, so customize it to meet your needs. Also, is there anything that we don't talk about here on WTIC that you'd like to hear, and specifically on this program? Let's go first to Hal and Summers. Hi, Hal.
How you doing?
What do you have for us?
If I could change any policy, it would be there would be no good time earned by any violent criminal. Just because of the sheer reason that it just saves innocent lives. Year after year after year, these policies let these people out of jail, and they go out and reoffend and hurt innocent people, whether murder.
I think you are correct in that the reason, the supposed reason for time off is that they're performing some kind of adequate education or reform while in prison, and I don't think the prison is capable or even interested in administering that, so it just becomes automatic time off for everybody.
Yeah, you wouldn't want any kind of time off. I mean, we have so many, there's so many programs now in these prisons that these guys aren't interested in. They get out and do the same thing every time, time after time after
yes,
time.
Yes, but I think part of that is the programs are fake. And there, you know, there may be ways, I don't know, I'm not an expert in incarceration and stuff, but there may be a way to actually improve people's. So do you know?
When you go to jail for a violent crime, you don't get out early. You're just going to commit another violent crime. A gentleman just got killed in Hartford 2 weeks after a gentleman was released on a violent crime early.
So do you think?
The guy died.
So you work in prisons? Is that what you said?
Yeah. If you get 20 years, you serve 20 years.
So do you think there's no way for people who commit crimes to be reformed?
No, I don't think that. What I think that is the programs would be just far too great. And the problem is people that go to jail, if things don't change where they're going back to or where their job, if they're going to get a job, it'll never change. If you get discharged to the Bridgeport Community Center, guess what happens? You reoffend. Unfortunately, these guys, it's hard for them to get jobs. So, because nobody wants to hire someone that's a violent criminal, just like you wouldn't, because they don't want them in their house. They don't, you know, these people have a history of hurting somebody.
Sure. So you think that's the problem is there's no way for them to get themselves back into
it's hard to get back on their feet. And simply because the reason is, the reason why they committed a crime is what they're going back to. If you come from a broken family or a violent area, you're going back to that violent area. You're not going back to, you know, it's very hard for them to get back on their feet.
Hal, thank you for that. I think there's a lot of truth to that, and it speaks to the need for change in the prison system. Thank you, sir. R.J. Glastonbury, hi.
Hi, how are you? If I were king, I'd like to do away with payroll deductions and have everybody write a check every week to what they owe.
Oh,
they
automatic deductions from anybody's paycheck. That's a brilliant policy. That would straighten out government so much, RJ.
It sure would.
It was such a simple thing, that little devious thing they did to us, the automatic deduction from your check. Thank you, sir, for the call. 860-522-9842. Tex, you've got the magic wand. What policy are you going to change?
All right, buddy. So I think that, like, I travel all around Connecticut in the Section 8 properties. I'll be in there doing remodels or whatever. But every once in a while, not that kids are in general. I don't mean to say this in a generalized statement, but you'll see one every once in a while that's got an extra attitude, and his parents or a single mom is a little bit more adjusted to forwarding their child's career, like giving them every asset they can. Well, if they're in a certain zip code, they can only attend certain schools. And as you know, it's a different policy in Southington or Avon as it is in downtown Hartford off Albany Avenue as far as the education system goes. And that's just the truth. It's sad, but it's true.
So what's the thing you would change?
I think that a child who has an aggressive attitude towards education and a mother and a father that are willing to provide the transportation, I think a child should be able to attend any school he wants to in the state of Connecticut, if he lives in the state of Connecticut, or she, and that they should be able to get whatever aggressive education they want to pursue without being told, you don't live in that zip code, so you're not allowed to attend that school.
All right,
I think that limits a lot of people's abilities and ambitions. And
in other words, there are a lot of bad schools, and there's a lot of communities that have bad schools, and you want people to be able to get to great schools. And I like that idea. I don't know if I would fix it with the same wave of the wand that you would, but I'm on board with you in spirit. 860-522-WTIC. We're going to pause for a minute to get traffic and weather together on the 8th. Then we will take more Philosophy Friday questions. It's WTIC. It's Friday. Hope you have a good weekend planned. We're talking about how to change the world. It's a magic wand question on Philosophy Friday. What would you do if you held the policy magic wand? What would you change to make this a better land? Dave in Brantford. Hello, Dave.
Todd, the direction I'd like your show to take in the future is to explore the evolution of the English language on certain touchy words.
Like what?
Well, I watched the Oscars, and in the first 5 minutes, a performer, Monet, used the word queer black. And then toward the end of the show, Joaquin Phoenix used the term genderqueer. And I must say, as an old white cisgender male, I could never get away with using that word. I'm not quite sure what to make of it, but it is better than LGBTQIA+.
Well, how do you know that you could never get away with saying that word?
I perceive that I can't. Interestingly, Michael Bloomberg stepped in it lately when he used the term he, she, or it. And yet the word of the year was a they. And so we're left with the question, it's offensive. It's okay to call you a they, but I can't call you an it. The rules have gotten so tough, but there's a lot of words. When is something woke, and when is it sarcastic to call something woke?
Well, I guess that's in the eyes of the beholder,
well,
isn't it?
That's what we need you, as a leader in spin-casting language in our neck of the woods, you know, an exploration of how some of these words are evolving.
Dave, thank you so much for the call. A very insightful and interesting call. And I would say anybody, for starters, anybody listening to this program is automatically the king or queen of the woke. Thank you, sir. 860-522-9842. Who even knows what woke is? Who cares? These words, they do. They change so fast and they go by so fast. And they're so self-indulgent, aren't they? Matt in Bristol. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Todd. Yeah, remember about a year ago you did a show or a segment on how to lower costs on TV?
Yes, I remember quite well. As a matter of fact, I've just started to pursue some of those steps.
What I was hoping you'd do was, I wanted to call before. I didn't want to be rude and, you know, give you something to do. But I was hoping you'd do a show, something like that, on the home solar panels.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, do they actually work? You know, yeah. Offset, which companies work better?
All right, I'm making a note because I wonder about that as well. I wonder if I'm missing out on something, but I've heard enough that's questionable about those deals that are being offered. That if you're not buying it yourself, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So I will arrange that.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm making my note. Thank you so much for the call, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too.
860-522-9842. Let me just finish this note. Solar panels, Matt Bristol. 860-522-9842. I'm not writing that down. I'm just telling you. And we're talking about what policy you would want if you had the magic wand of policy. The magic wand thing always resonates as a topic. I'm not sure. I guess it's just the simplicity and clarity of it. Tom in Watertown. Hello, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing, Todd?
Go ahead, sir.
Here you go. My dream bill would be to make the taxes you pay tied to the party you vote for.
Explain.
So if I'm Republican, I only pay the taxes my Republican Party passes.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. This would work in the other direction, though. The Democrats would double the gifts that they give to their voters because the gifts would only go to their voters.
Correct. And they're the only ones voting for it, so they're the only ones paying for it.
Oh, okay. So we'd really finish. Democrats have worked hard to divide the country into two parts. And now you're saying they would have to own their own section and pay the bills for it.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Have a good one.
Tom, that's brilliant.
I love that. I've been saying that one for years.
Thank you so much for sharing it with us, because there's going to be a lot more people saying it now. How about that? Yeah, you pay for your own freebies. All right, I'm liking it. But how about the evil rich people? What would the evil rich people pay for? And the evil corporations who give jobs, what would happen to those jobs? There's got to be some negative repercussions in here somewhere. I'm just not sure. 860-522-WTIC, Mike in Manchester. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you for the call, sir.
I shouldn't even have that.
That's true.
So one of the things the guy mentioned about 35%, like he was like retired police and everything. So he's trying to say that people should... they shouldn't get charged because they practice on their own. Is that what I heard?
Oh, you're talking about the ammo tax?
Yeah.
He was saying that there shouldn't be any exemptions for people connected to government jobs.
Well,
if the government is going to be passing taxes, everybody should pay them.
They get trained when they're working.
Well, I would think so, but he was saying if they're going to shoot on their own, they should pay the tax like anybody else.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. So he was saying that.
That's what I believe he was saying.
Well, no, I don't think he was. That's what I was kind of...
Well, but I asked him. I said, what would the situation be? And he said, well, say they're going to the store and to buy some ammo because they want to go practice. That would... If they're buying the ammo, that would be that they're going to practice on their own, right? At their own range, not going to
their own range. But I thought he kind of meant the fact is that they could be exempt too. And then secondly, I agree with the other guy where you shouldn't get any good time for being in prison. I've tried to help out people in the past, and it comes back to haunt you. You know,
Are you saying you've tried to help former prisoners and it's never worked out well for you?
I rented an apartment to a former person, and it didn't work out well. You know, he did 4 years in prison right here in Connecticut, mm-hmm. and then after the fact, I kind of learned the fact that he had a really big rap sheet, 12 convictions, and he tried to turn things around. You know.
Well, what if though, Mike? The problem is the prison system is horribly run and doesn't do a darn thing to help reform people. And then you're blaming the person who hasn't been helped rather than blaming the system.
Well, that's not necessarily true because he came out of prison, wasn't a halfway house. I met with his probation officer.
I'm just throwing it out as a hypothetical. In any situation, there's going to be bad people and good people, I think. But my point is just, I don't think the system, like all of government, I think the system is poorly run. WTIC, we're doing our Philosophy Friday Hour. We sign off with on Fridays. It's big fun, is it not? And the question is, if you had the policy magic wand, what policy would you change in your town, in the state, in the country, what have you? It's up to you. Anything you want to change, you do it. You wave the magic wand. Mark in West Hartford, hi.
Well, I guess I don't want to change a policy, but I want to change a view on a policy.
Okay.
I got to ask you something. Over the decades, I've been hearing, is it just a coincidence that bad schools are always situated in communities where there's no involvement from a parent or guardian, no support for a child?
I would say there's probably no coincidences.
Yeah, and so am I supposed to lead? So when people say they should be able to go to better schools, so I live in West Hartford, right? Great, great community. Our schools are top-notch. Mm-hmm. If I took the entire student body of any school in West Hartford, swapped it out for an entire student body in Hartford, and after a few years, am I supposed to believe the West Hartford kids are going to underperform and all the kids from Hartford are going to do better because they're in a good school?
Well, you're suggesting that that's the only factor. That is a factor, that community involvement helps make good schools. But I would say when you've got a excellent, finely tuned, government-controlled school system, education system, from Washington all the way down to your local community, with tons of federal and state dollars being pumped into every community, I would expect that in those needy communities where parents aren't involved, that they would be supercharged schools that could make up for that deficiency.
So now, I grew up in the 60s, and back then, like right now, and I worked in Hartford up until a few years ago, most of the schools have more support in place than any suburban school.
So you think it's just, you think it's not possible.
They got boys and girls clubs.
So you think it's not possible to educate kids if their parents don't come in for meetings at school?
Well, all these other side, okay, so I just mentioned special needs or tutoring programs and everything. You need parents or guardians to help you out. You need to get set up. Like, I used to have tutors for my kids, or if there were special programs.
But you're just looking at one factor, Mark, as if that must be the whole story. There's plenty. In England, all the fancy people send their kids away to school so they can get the best education with no parent involvement. I don't buy for a second that's the only factor that matters.
I believe, you want to know what? I'll bottom line it. I'll say yes. So you're telling me those kids that had no foundation, once they got sent off to these private schools, from birth until they were able to walk and talk and take directions from others.
Well, here's what I'm telling you, Mark. Here's what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is we can do anything we want to educate kids in urban areas. The Democrats who control those urban areas, control every policy in those communities and control the schools, absolutely, could develop all kinds of solutions, but they don't care and they don't want to. All they care about is making sure the teachers' unions are happy. Teachers' unions make the policy. There is no policy made in the best interest of the kids going to schools in those communities. And until we try that, I think your idea is bogus. 860-522-9842. But thank you for the call. WTIC. I just played this little clip of Ned doing his angry rant the other day for my producer, Mike.
I need another week. I need another week. I need another week.
He said, sounds like somebody talking to the landlord. You get to make the policy this hour. Magic wand in your hand. Nancy in Watertown. Hi.
Oh, hi. Let me turn the radio down.
Please.
I recently turned retirement age. I'm still working full time.
Wait, what is retirement age now? Like 85 or something?
Well, it depends. You know, it's for Social Security, whether you're, you know.
Oh, okay.
It depends on the year you were born. It's 65, 66, whatever. But anyway, I was told by my HR department I had to, you know, contact Medicare because it was required. And I said, but why do I need Medicare Part A when I have an excellent coverage? And they didn't know. They said that was the law. So I called my congressman, and the young woman I talked to said, yes, that's true. That's required. It's a result of the insurance lobby. So I would change that and save us some taxpayer money. She didn't know why I was upset by that because she said it's free. At which point I said it's not free. So my tax dollars are paying for the Medicare Part A.
So you're saying that when you turn retirement age, like 65, I guess, that you have to contact Medicare to tell them if you're not going to exercise the option yet, if you want to put it off?
No, no, no. You can't put Part A off. No, no. That's required even if you have Medicare coverage. It's required. They sent me my Medicare Part A card. And which is hospitalization. So even though I have excellent full benefits from my employer.
You still have to take the Medicare hospitalization.
Correct.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I like the idea of as a matter of fact, I would wave the magic wand to make all government programs go away.
Okay.
I would be a little broader than you, but I like the spirit from which you're coming, Nancy.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, what's the point other than the insurance companies pay less if you need hospitalization?
It seems kind of crazy, but they like to be in control of everything, and that's how they roll. Thank you, Nancy, for the call, 860-522-WTIC. And Ben is calling from Lyme. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Todd. Well, this is fun.
It is.
How do you feel about the Boy Scouts going belly up this week?
Well, you know, there's sort of old leftover feelings. I feel badly about the way they've been persecuted. But the other side of it is there another – to tell you the truth, the big response I had was, as I heard the story, was that I started thinking about them as being similar to the Catholic Church and that they've gone through kind of the same thing, that can you have an organization that serves children without having those kinds of problems? That's what I thought.
Well, if I were king, my magic wand would be on this one. It's for frivolous lawsuits, losers pay.
Well, that's an interesting idea.
I think
for frivolous.
They do it that way in England.
The trouble is, I don't know how that works out in England. In our system, which everything seems to get corrupted in, that the what is the definition of frivolous? And the courts would either be ruling everything a frivolous lawsuit or nothing.
No, if losers pay, then the plaintiff has to decide whether it's worth it.
Well, but you said frivolous lawsuits.
Yeah, but the government doesn't get to decide what's frivolous. It's the plaintiff. They got to say, do I really have a case, or am I just blowing smoke?
So anything you lose would then be frivolous by definition?
Yeah, there's no definition involved. It's just losers pay.
Okay, so then you have to leave the frivolous out of there. Yeah, so that's that would be different and perhaps good. Thank you for that, Ben. 860-522-WTIC. Possibly that would be good. Alan in Newington. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Todd. Wonderful topic. Thank you so much for introducing
you.
It. If I had a magic wand, I do an awful lot of things, but the one that rises to the top for me is every law, no exceptions, would expire after no more than 10 years. And it would have to be, if you really want that law, you'd have to reintroduce it, rewrite it, re-vote on it, and reenact it.
Yeah, I like that. I like a, what's that called?
Well, Kansas.
Sunset, a sunset law. You want a sunset law that has a high threshold to get the law back in, right?
Yes, exactly. And your magic wand is the best one, which is to wipe out all the government programs. Mine would have the more gradual effect. It wouldn't wipe them out right away. But what it would do is force all the legislatures and legislators to focus on the core legislation.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. I think I have no problem with a gradual sunsetting of all federal programs in particular. 860-522-9842. Okay, Ernestine. Ernestine from Meriden. Thank you for calling. How have you been?
Hi, how are you? It's been a while since I've talked to you.
Ernestine was in studio a couple weeks ago, and I apologize. I was supposed to send you a file, and I forgot to do it.
Yes, and we were supposed to talk when you came back in town.
All right, so what's...
I can actually tell you what's going on at the Capitol. I'm driving through a tunnel, so I'm hoping that you can hear me.
Okay, go ahead. What is it you want us to know?
Well, I do want to tell you what's going on at the Capitol. Today I was there to see what they're going to vote on that no vaccine bill. They put it off to Monday.
Okay.
Hey, I think that what they're trying to do is get all those moms tired.
Mm-hmm.
So if they stay home, then they won't have to deal with them. But then they're going to have to deal with the people with the ammo tax, the 2A pro people. But I do want to share something with you. When you go to the Capitol and you decide that you want to testify and give your testimony on a bill, they violate the rights of the people. Today I had a conversation with Kathy Crombie, Abercrombie. And I told her, why is the lobbyist allowed to put 7 and 8 people on that list when the public is standing here to testify? If they're not there, they should not. If there's a lottery, they need to pull a number like everybody else. But because they are paying them, the lobbyists are paying them, just like the unions, the people are violated again. So when I started to speak on it, they said, well, if they're disabled. I said, well, only one person was disabled. So what about the other 6 that they skipped the public? And if you got 5 people from the lobbyists putting 6 people, the public can't speak.
Ernestine, another rigged system you discovered.
Yes.
Well done. All right, let's talk about it next week. I'll have you call in for a segment, and we'll talk about that. Thank you so much for the call. I'll touch base over the weekend. 860-522-9842. We'll go to Steve in Waterbury. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Todd. I have a couple parts to my policy, and it's how politicians get paid. I think they should have the right to, you know, voice their concerns about their compensation. Like if they, you know, say you have somebody who lived in Hartford and you had a high property tax, it might have something to do with their salary.
Politicians?
What's that? Politicians, yeah.
But why worry about, why should they get paid anything?
Well, the fact that they do, I don't think they should be voting on how they get compensated.
Oh, yes. Well, that's certainly true.
Now, I also think is that should they move out of the area, they should have a, you know, a give back. Let's say, for example, we had like 3 of the 4 past governors move out of state. So I think they should have to, you know, have some kind of way of being, you know, accountable, not just the governors, but anybody that's in the area. Now, I also think that if they raise taxes, whatever salary that they have should be affected by it. But if they save money, they should get a bonus, more or less. You know, so it's kind of a, you know, if they're doing right by the people, and if they really feel that a tax should be increased, they should have to, you know, like the same one for that charity thing, Give Till It Hurts. So that's my...
All right. Well, you know, the trouble, those are good ideas, but the trouble is it's so hard to manage. And when they know there's an incentive, when there's something in it for them, they will jump through hoops to manipulate the rules so they're getting the rewards, you know. So I have trouble trusting them that much, and that's why I prefer they don't get compensated and that it just be a volunteer thing and that we keep government simple. Thank you for the call, though, sir. 860-522-WTIC. Yes, you have the magic wand. What policy would you change? What policy would you put in place that isn't in place? You get to pick one. What would it be? 860-522-WTIC. Tyler, hello there.
Yes?
Turn that radio down or whatever that is.
I thought you were the radio.
I am the radio.
Well, now.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This was actually, I'm just, because we're a little confused now because of the delay, but I actually wouldn't mind piggyback on Steve, too. The idea of like a adjustable rate income for politicians doesn't sound like a bad idea.
So what would you use to adjust the rate?
Me, personally, I'd like to adjust, and you could probably correct me if I'm wrong on this, but as far as I'm aware, college students can actually vote in the state that they attend college if that's where technically their residence is.
Yeah, I think it's up to the state and their own residency rules, but certainly what I hear about Connecticut is that it's very generous and that there are
very generous, and only because I know a lot of people who went to UConn who are out of state. And it only runs me back to when Stefanowski and me and the wife were watching the debates, and he did the debate at UConn with Lamont. And the just the generalized boos from people that were in the college, obviously attending the debate. So I think you're getting an influx of younger people who aren't really relatable to the problems that the state has.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's some states where there are so many, like New Hampshire and Iowa, where there's so many college kids that the Democrats, who one of their election rigging schemes is, you know, controlling the process to make it really easy to register even when you have no interest in the community. So they work hard to get everybody registered and then bus them around to make sure they vote.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happened here with people getting bussed in. I mean, my wife had told me that she read all the articles about people being bussed in. I'm in Brantford now, but I grew up in Bridgeport. I'm a Bridgeport person at heart. So I know a lot of the ploys and the things that happen where they bus people in and they give them rides, and you know, they want you to get in to vote for them because it's like, hey, here's a free pizza, here's this, and
there you go.
You know what I mean? You know, so, but those are the two things. I mean, the adjustable rate, incomes. I think you should have a starting wage as a politician that starts at a certain tier
and then goes down every year.
Yeah, and it's voted upon. You know, I think they're paid pretty exorbitantly.
Yeah, but you know, they're so good at lying to everybody and doing snow jobs on the peeps that they would just figure out these great cons to make themselves worth more money in people's eyes. I don't trust them on anything. Maria Rocky Hill. Hi, Maria.
Hey, Todd. So if I had my magic wand, I would make term limits, including the Supreme Court. I make sure 3 terms for the senators, that's it, including the Congress. And for the Supreme Court, okay, 10 years.
10 years? Well, how about this? If for liberal members of the Supreme Court, let's make it 5 years, and then you're required, if you uphold the Constitution, you're required to stay for the rest of your life.
I said to Mike, I said, except for the Republicans, they can stay as long as.
Well, and somebody even better than a Republican, somebody who always votes to uphold the Constitution.
Exactly. Yes.
They have to stay. Actually, after they're dead, we just prop up a dummy of them, and the votes happen automatically. Yeah. I like your ideas there.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to tell you, Todd, I love that song so much.
Oh, do we have time?
If they bring back tolls, I want you to make a recording. I want you to send it down, and I want it played while they're in session.
Well, there you would need the magic wand for that, Maria.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.